This is Bill Clauswake, and welcome to Radioactive Magazine. And we have a room full of civil rights activists with us here tonight, and I'm very excited to hear from these gentlemen. I want to thank Spencer Graves for helping put this together. And you want to say a couple of words to introduce the show?
Sure. I also want to thank Darnell Hunt, who couldn't make it at the last minute, but he helped make the arrangements to we have in the studio this evening presidents of three local chapters of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. It's been proudly the oldest civil rights organization in the United States. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yes. Right. All right, let each of those guys just introduce themselves and tell them what they're
doing. Exactly right. So, Reverend Williams, you want to start? Tell us about your chapter, who you are and your chapter. And
sure. My name is Reverend Rodney E. Williams. I am the president of the Kansas City, Missouri branch of the NAACP. I'm also pastor of the Swope Parkway United Christian Church. And our branch is consistently trying to follow the NAACP game changers, which is the strategic strategies that we'll be working on in the 21st century.
Thank you. Fred?
Good afternoon. I'm Fred Jones with the Johnson County branch of the NAACP. We serve 20 of the 21 cities in Johnson County, and we also use the national game changers to try to apply our strategies to help create better relationships between law enforcement and the community.
Okay, and I'm gonna help introduce this next guy because he's an old buddy of mine. Richard Mabian's actually is quite active around KKFI and does a show on Mondays called Echo Radio. And I know you could say that yourself, but that's okay. So I'll let you introduce yourself in regards to the NAACP.
Yes, to all of my environmental listeners out there, I'm saying hello to you again. And I'm here now in my other official role. And that's the one that's a president of the Kansas City, Kansas NAACP. And as you know, by knowing me, that my number one concern as far as the organization is concerned is for us to be finding ways to educate and lead our future generations into the world of science and technology.
Pull that.
We spend a lot of time finding ways to involve the young people through the school systems in programs that are designed to do just that, teach them about science. I'll talk more about it when it comes.
Okay. And I don't know if you each have a different perspective on your role in the NAACP. I'll start with you, Richard, just because I've always been curious. I know that, I do know you as an environmentalist, not that environmentalism and civil rights are separate, but they're not always thought of as tandem together. So give us a little bit of your philosophy on how you see that environmental issues impact civil rights issues within NAACP.
Well, I actually say that it was the environmental world that got me involved with the NAACP because of Ben Jealous. He and the president for the Sierra Club were attempting to bring together a coalition, a partnership with each other, because of the seriousness of the environmental issues going on in this country. Most of your degradation and most of your pollution that's associated with your industrial districts are located close and near the low-income black communities. And so we need to be able to get more activism going in those communities. So it started with me becoming a Sierra Club. I was Kansas' first black board member for the Sierra Club. And I had to go make a presentation to the NAACP, and it just made sense to me that I should also be a member of that organization. So it was in 2012 that I joined the Kansas City, Kansas NAACP. Now, I had been a member as a child growing up because all of us were. That was just a natural thing you did through your church. So it was really refreshing to be able to get back into it. And so I think that the NAACP is still the one organization we have that has the consciousness of the black community. We in what I consider a transformation period. And that transformation is going from us old folks like me to the young folks who we all know that are coming into the millennium portion. So a lot of work to me, as far as I'm concerned, needs to be involved in finding ways to bring that millennial group into this activism that we have going on.
Okay, you're going to hear the microphones moving around a little bit because we're kind of sharing mics. We've got such a full house. But now, Fred, state your name again, but you're not a stranger to KKFI either. I know you've been here any number of times, but tell me how your work may be the same or different than what Richard's doing, or just give us an introduction to what your work is with NAACP.
Well, thank you. As a matter of fact, each branch of NAACP in this area have a different role. We have a different clientele. We have different issues that we have to address. Some of the issues that we address out in Johnson County is a good working relationship with law enforcement and the public. We sponsor quite a few events that we do throughout the year to raise money, to continue sponsoring things to help the public have a better relationship with law enforcement in our area. We've been very successful. This past year, we have two more law enforcement police departments in our area willing to join on our Christmas program of Shop with a Police Officer that we've been doing for 7 years. So each branch of NAACP in this area have a different responsibility and a different program to try to reach out to better the community, and that's the things we do. And one of our main one is the relationship between law enforcement, NAACP, and the general public.
Yeah, that creates a question in my own mind. You know, I mean, I know I'm dealing a little bit with stereotypes here, but Johnson County is thought of as, you know, one of the more upper class, upper economic areas in the metro area. And I'm wondering if it's more of a problem there of things like driving while black, for example, you know, or people that are, you know, black folks just walking down the side. I understand why it would be important to build this relationship with the police, but does that part of it have anything to do with it?
Of course. I mean, you have that in every community, but not as much as it is in other communities. But those are our concerns, and establishing a good relationship with the police officers that we interact with to make sure that these kind of things do not happen.
Yeah, okay. All right, Reverend, I know I was, before we came in, I was talking with Rodney Williams, Reverend Rodney Williams, about the fact that I did go to the rally on Monday for
Poor People's Campaign.
Thank you. I'm having a hard time coming up with words here, and I heard the Reverend speak, and he did a fabulous job. So tell me a little bit about your work with NAACP, and you might kind of fold in what your activities have been with the Poor People's Campaign, if that's appropriate, or some thoughts along those lines, or actually pretty much anything you want to say.
Thank you. The focus of our work of the NAACP here in Kansas City, Missouri, is to fight racial discrimination in all forms or shapes whenever it appears. Within our city, we believe that there have been laws passed recently that have the potentiality to discriminate against individuals, so that was one of the issues that we have been dealing with. We, along with other NAACP branches throughout the state of Missouri, of course, this past summer has dealt with Senate Bill 43, which we believe is the new Jim Crow law, that makes it almost, I don't want to say almost, that makes it very, very easy for employers to get away with discriminating. Monday.
Tell me a little bit of details on that, because I'm not familiar with it.
Senate Bill 43 is a bill that came into effect as a result of Senator Gary Romine. He owned some rent-to-own places, and he had some employees that were African-American that were discriminated against. And so what he does, he goes to the legislators in Jefferson City and puts forth a proposal that would make it harder for employees to prove that they were discriminated against. And so that is the crust of Senate Bill 43. Secondly, the Poor People's Campaign is exactly that, the Poor People's Campaign, a call for moral revival throughout America. And so what Stand Up KC has done, or Stand Fight for 15 has done, which is a labor-driven fast food workers movement, have joined up with the Poor People's Campaign to fight against racial discrimination and the inequity in employment.
And,
Spencer?
May I ask a follow-on on that, Reverend Williams? Missouri made the news with the NAACP some months ago about where the national NAACP put some kind of a travel advisory out for people visiting, cautioning people to be careful if they're visiting Missouri. Would you care to comment on that?
Absolutely. Because of racial discrimination and racial profiling in not just in Kansas City, Missouri, but throughout the state of Missouri, we went to Governor Greitens and asked Governor Greitens not to sign the bill, but he ends up signing that particular bill that went into effect. And so we have a national travel advisory that our national picked up. And what the travel advisory basically is warning individuals that when you come into the state of Missouri, you do have an opportunity, and I'm saying that loosely, I know what I'm saying, you have an opportunity that you might be racially profiled or discriminated against. And as long as we have politics such as that in the state of Missouri, we are going to always sound the alarm that it is dangerous for you to travel throughout the state.
Do you have a different, I mean, I assume both of the other two NAACP representatives here, is discrimination less of an issue from where you're coming from, or is it just, I don't know, just you can comment on however you want to on that. It's kind of an open question here.
Discrimination, it comes in all forms. One of the things we have to do, we have to have people be concerned about the issue to bring it to us so we can go and examine the facts so we can prove it so we can take appropriate action. Because of the new Jim Crow, people are more crafty in hiding the discrimination. So they do it in a slight way, so you have to kind of like build your case. So I don't think discrimination is any less in any place else, but you got to seek out the fact in order to prove it.
Yeah, now I'm curious though, and when the Reverend was talking about Senate Bill 43, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that the really sharp right turn that they've made in Missouri. Well, the right's been in control in Kansas for a long time now, but I don't know if, along the same lines. You know, there's conservative and right wing, and there's conservative and right wing. I don't know if you've faced the same kind of legislative onslaught that he's talking about with 43. Do you see that on the Kansas side or in your counties or towns or anything like that?
Not as far as a effort being made to address a particular bill. So what we end up doing is giving our support as a regional base NAACP branch to any effort that's going on in Missouri. Missouri is very unique. I'm sitting here looking at the three of us sitting at the table, and I'm very proud to be a part of this group because, see, I think sometimes people get pigeonholed in what the NAACP is about. And if anything right now, what you could get from the three of us sitting here is how varied we are and how much we really take into consideration and how all for one and one for all kind of attitude exists here. When you talk about Johnson County, you're talking about a totally different, excuse me, y'all, for not, and don't be offended, but you're talking about a totally different animal as far as the caliber of people that we're talking about. When you switch over and come down and talk to me in Wyandotte County, we're talking about a totally different caliber of animal that we're dealing with there. And I'm not saying that for just for lack of a better word. We have different issues. We have different problems. And so what we have to do is be in a position where we're able to meet and greet the needs of the people who we serve. And so all of it, Missouri is ahead of us. They have political clout. We don't have the caliber of political clout that they have from City Hall sitting down there all the way through to Jeff City, all the way through to U.S. Congressman Emanuel Claver. I mean, he had to come to our state to represent that guy up there in Lawrence. We don't have that.
You think that's Kansas. because of numbers? I mean, there's obviously
Numbers,
more concentration on this side.
It's also evolution. You know, we that's why educating a population of people who become responsible. I speak to individual responsibility. We have a big need in my particular portion of the population to teach individual responsibility. They've been so led into believing someone's going to take care of it for me that we have to teach this new generation. That's why you hear me talking about them, because the millennials want to get involved. But when they step up to the plate, they still got the old system of folks in charge. So they don't get a chance to say nothing, and they get discouraged and go home. So what we're doing and I'm doing is finding a way to get them directly involved. I got a couple of young men right now that one of those health grants they put out is going to pay for these students to go, young people, to go to training down there at the leadership school down in Wichita. Mm-hmm. And I got a meeting tomorrow to talk to this organization, a climate energy project, about how you can get with these young people. I want them to go. I want them to meet the people out there in the state that they need to be in relationship. We need those kind of leaders. And these are young guys. I mean young, 35, 40 years old. But they're at an age where they can learn that under our leadership to be able to become the kind of leaders that we need in Wyandotte County to address these kind of issues.
Okay, if you're just tuning in, we're having a discussion here with Richard Mabian, that you're just speaking with, Kansas City, Kansas NAACP. Reverend Rodney E. Williams of Kansas City, Missouri, NAACP, and Fred Jones from the Johnson County NAACP. Reverend Williams, you said in passing when you were introducing yourself, you mentioned the term game changers. Tell us a little bit about what that refers to.
The game changers is basically the 21st century strategies that the NAACP has to work
on. Is this an NAACP-wide strategy?
This is an NAACP-wide strategy.
Okay.
We talk about economic sustainability, emphasis on education, of course, voting rights, voter suppression, the justice system, all of those things that have been negatively impacted by policies and laws that keep people trapped in certain segments of society. Our job, I believe, is to help individuals rise up above those conditions, and that's what we're trying to do here in Kansas City, and I believe that's what's happening throughout America, throughout different branches.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I agree with him 100% because he named off those areas, and basically that's what you heard us when we talked about what we're doing in our individual areas. One of those subgroupings that he mentioned is what we're all looking into, whether it's the development of economic development power, not just economic development, but economic development power, where you are actually at the table, where the plans are being made, where you coming to the table with plans. You know, we're making it and instilling in people that you have a right to do that. But first of all, you have to be taught. Don't just go in your back room and write something down and go running in there. We need to sit down with people and thoroughly think out. We got the education now. There's no excuse for not having the education. It's across the board. We just need to be in a position of bringing it in to use it.
Is it kind of a challenge in the sense that, I mean, you know, NAACP is something I've known about, you know, my entire life, but it's been around a long time, and you know, the history is such a throwback. You probably, if you were renaming an organization today, you probably wouldn't have the last two words being colored people. You may or may not, but I'm wondering how difficult it may be to overcome a perception that millennials or younger folks might have that, well, this is something my grandpa and my dad used to do, or my Aunt Tilly, but it doesn't really speak to me. Is that a challenge, you think, or what strategies do you have to kind of bring along these young people?
That is a challenge, but one of the things that I do to try to overcome that challenge is, first, when I have conversations with our younger people, is I give them the history. If you give them the history, it kind of sheds a great light on the actual organization and what it actually stands for. Because when it was first established back in 1909, it was of the 60 people that actually started the NAACP and got the charter, 53 of them were white. And they sit back.
Yeah, and you brought me up short with that. I didn't realize that myself. Yeah.
And that's the whole thing about it. I said, if those people had the heart, the backbone, and the drive to do something about those issues back in those days when you didn't have any cars or transportation was lacking. Communication was definitely lacking. And then the fear factor, if you got caught, they're going to jack you up. Mm-hmm. But they stood there and they did what they had to do to fight for the equal rights of persons that needed it. So I give them the history and tell them to, you know, don't get complacent in that you have things available to you now that wasn't available 20 years ago. Because the system is still there to trip you up, to put you in the back room again.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I do to enlighten any member that I talk to.
I'm curious, and we've almost gone through a news show without even mentioning the man's name, but I'm going to when I get through this question. But you know where I'm going with this. And I'm curious if the dynamics of your organization's changed from the 8 years that we had with Barack Obama to the 1 year we've had with Trump, and anything you might want to say about that. It looks to me that, obviously our perception of where we've come on race has changed a lot in the last year or so. And I just wondered if it's, in a strange way, is maybe with overt racism seeming more pronounced and maybe more seen, that maybe in a strange way it helps more activism. I don't know. You tell me.
I'm going to address this. All of us can, but I want to speak to the temperament now is closer to where it was when we were coming through the ranks than it has been in the past, recent past. And what has happened, the recent past for our young black and white portion of the populations became very convenient. And like I said, they got to the point you didn't feel a need to be individually responsible. Someone would take care of it. You know, you hear about somebody getting beat up like what's the boy out in California? Rodney King. And, you know, they just sit back. They didn't worry about it. Somebody's going to deal with it. But when it gets to the point of where we are now, I'll never forget Ferguson, and I was speaking to a class of NAACP members put on a session at UMKC, and a young lady in the crowd said, you know, I really don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I've never protested or marched before. Am I supposed to be outside with signs? And I really don't know. I'm the only thing I got to go by is what I know happened in the past. And you start realizing we have this generation of people who don't know. So for us, like he just said, it's been easy for us to teach because we're talking about what we grew up in. Yeah. That's where we are now. So one thing that our parents taught us, we had to transcend racism. We could not allow it to hold us back. We could not allow it to be a distraction. We had a goal. You set your goal. You worked you plan your work and you work your plan. And that's how we were able to achieve and move ahead. And that's the only message I can give you. You can sit here and talk about whoever's in charge. You can talk about whoever's doing what, wherever. But the bottom line is, what do you do to overcome this? And that's it.
And part of that is, I think, registering and voting. Because if you don't vote, you don't count. The politicians cannot afford to pay any attention to you. And I'm just wondering if any of you want to comment on any voter registration activities you have or anything that you're trying to do to get out the vote or whatever.
Well, voter registration is always one of the staples of the NAACP because we know and understand that the vote is power. And if we don't have that vote, we lose our – I don't want to even say lose. We actually turn our power over to those power brokers that are in the legislative office.
And you think what it costs to get that vote, too. I mean,
what it costs, death, sweat.
Yeah.
But I want to just revert back to your question. And one of the things that I look at, since we have this new president as the president of the United States, that he has emboldened people to do what they really wanted to do and was doing from the very beginning. And so I think that he is not really the problem. He is a distraction. And if we focus on him, because racism, white supremacy was here prior to him getting here. Is here now. And unless we do something, fight, is going to be here when he leaves. Yeah. So I believe he is a major distraction, and we cannot allow ourselves to be distracted by him, but we have to keep our head to the dashboard and press on to make sure that we educate our people about what's going on within the context of our community.
So your organization is a membership organization, and if so, how's membership? Has it been up or down, staying steady, or what? And how is funding for what you need to do? Well, any one of those you want to comment on?
Okay, in Johnson County, our membership is steady. We do three fundraisers a year in house to fund ourselves, because we only get but so much money from membership and not so much money for donations. But we have three fundraisers a year that sustain us to do the things we do for the community, and scholarships. We do have a few scholarships through the brand. So we've been able to maintain very well from our membership being constant and the fundraisers being profitable. So. But we always need help. I'm looking for the younger people to get involved, for the simple reason is they come in with new ideas, and with the new ideas, that will push us in another direction. So we're looking for the younger people to come join us.
Okay. Yeah, we need those new ideas, because the old folk get stale and die off.
I represent one of the poorest NAACP branches in the Kansas City metropolitan area, and fundraising is a chore. It's a chore, but we survive, you know, we survive. First of all, don't forget that we believe in God. And that's one thing. When I went into the environmental world, I told them the one thing that I saw missing it, because there's so few people of color involved with the environmental movement, is that very rarely do the environmental movement deal with God. And the people that are people of color, they love God. You can't go in a Hispanic neighborhood and not see them statues slapped up in people's yard. That's all they have to depend on is God to get their children back home. And so when you're dealing with our communities, if you don't have God in your platform, then you will lose us. And so the NAACP has God in its platform. So consequently, people love God. They come and they serve and they worship and they give their heart and soul to what we're trying to do for no money at all. If we can get the door open, they will come and make it happen. You asked about voter registration. I think Reverend Williams did a beautiful job when he said that's a staple. That's not us that needs it. We do it. We do it all the time. I mean, that's part of our life. That's what we do. We get people registered. I like to talk more about people coming out to vote than I would people registering. That's our issue, how we get them out to vote. You know, and you only got 32% of your population voting for a presidential election. That's a problem, you know. So I'm saying the things that we're working on to make it a conversation, and we are the voice. We are the voice for the voiceless. Okay, so we're making sure that those things that we're talking about are being talked about in the areas where they need to be heard.
Reverend Williams,
yes.
Any comments?
We're just going to continue to work hard. The membership in Kansas City, Missouri is on the upward swing, and we're just prayerful, and not just prayerful, we're prayerful and working that will continue, because you have to pray and you have to work as well.
Well, this has been a great conversation. I really appreciate all three of you. We've been talking with Richard Mabian of the Kansas City, Kansas NAACP, Reverend Rodney E. Williams of the Kansas City, Missouri NAACP, and Fred Jones of Johnson County NAACP. And thank all you gentlemen for the work that you do in the community, and keep the faith and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Spencer, for being around and helping me.